listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
All right, here we are. AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 39, part 2.
It's not yet the heavy metal episode, John.
Not yet the heavy metal episode.
And I think a lot of our fans out there don't know we even have a part 2 and a part 3.
Why is that?
We get a lot of downloads for part 1, John. A lot of downloads.
Really?
Yeah, people are subscribed. And when you subscribe, it downloads the first one automatically. I don't know. Maybe they don't like what they hear in the first one. They're like, yeah, fuck it. I'm not going to get the second and third one.
But those are the best ones.
Right. The first one is kind of just, you know, us lubed up. And then the second and third one is where we really sparkle, John.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
What the hell's with that, man?
I don't know. So maybe I should just... make it one big show again.
Oh, God.
Well, before I was so rudely interrupted by part one and part two, Tom Cruise, back in the news, John. It seems that Katie Holmes has a new film coming out with some guy, and they have a love scene.
Oh, yeah.
And this was over at Cannes? Was it at Cannes they showed it? And 12 seconds of love scene was cut out, John.
Slow down, I'm gonna spurt.
Where Katie's boobs were shown and some muff and cut out. Cutting room floor.
That's
people are saying,
up.
Hey man, is this control freak Tom Cruise now censoring movies?
Oh, no doubt.
Well, the director said it was a technical error. That the sex scene was right where they split up the reels, you see, John? And they didn't get the reel going when it should have been going. And it just kind of... It was on the film. It just didn't make it to the projector.
That's bullshit.
To the screen. So it wasn't...
Since when do they cut...
Tom Cruise.
When do they run a scene all the way to the reel cut? They know when it's going to come. Because they have to, no pun intended, they have to mark the film.
Yeah. Well,
that's bullshit. Why don't they just tell the truth?
Yeah, the Tom Cruise said, no, cut out the 12 seconds. Because I don't want people seeing my wife's, are they even married
Hogan's.
Yet? They're not even married. Is that what L. Ron Hubbard preaches? To just go impregnate women and not marry them?
I don't know, man.
Cocksucker.
Could be spelled XEMU to the Supreme Ruler.
Supreme
they
Ruler.
Were about to unelect him.
Unelect
him. The last moment he had in office to really goof the floop.
Goof the floop. To really goof the floop.
Goof
John.
The floop.
They were about to unelect him, John.
How do you unelect?
I don't know.
About to unelect him.
So he goofed the floop.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, so... And when is Kate Cruz due, John?
Any day.
Any day now?
No.
And then you got the Pitt Jolie baby coming too, John.
Right.
And they're saying May for that.
And they're not getting married either.
So was he fucking her before he got divorced from Jennifer Aniston?
All I know is on the cover of People magazine, they showed Jen. How is she dealing with the baby news? Give it a rest.
Yeah,
who cares? Oh my God, what a joke.
And then
they had pictures of her making out with Vince Vaughn here in Chicago.
Oh, that's hot.
Did I ever tell you this is me on guitar, bass? Huh?
I think, I don't know. If you've played a cut, Yeah, you've played this before.
Yeah. I just want to clear that up, that it's me, John, playing the guitar. Because Errol Wolf wrote in the forum, yeah, man, it was Scott, probably Scott, because all drummers want to play guitar, but they can't.
Right.
So it must have been Scott playing a Foo Fighters tune. Sounded pretty good. No, yeah. That was me, John.
It actually sounded like the Foo Fighters.
Did not.
Yeah, sure it did.
Oh, sweet. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
But he gave you the cred.
Of course, why not?
Wait a minute. What do you mean, of course, wine? I forgot. It's all about
That's
you.
That's right.
Yeah. Renaissance man.
It's the John and Scott show.
Right.
Okay?
It's the John and Scott.
All right, John. Do you have any other celebrity news?
You'll start pixelating my name.
Before we get into science news. Oh, and did you ever cut out any El Nocho rambling retard rampage?
No.
Oh, no, we'll have to do that.
I forgot.
He's one of our fan base.
Yes.
And he had his own podcast, and we'd like to promote that.
Yeah, El Nacho.
El Nacho. Nocho?
Nacho. Nacho cheese.
So I guess we'll do that next time, John.
Well, Paris Hilton is definitely a genius, Scott.
Really?
Yeah. Lately, she's been, I think, in court or something over this deposition she had to give over I don't know if it's a lawsuit or what. Zita Graff says that Paris Hilton defamed her.
How so, John?
I don't know the whole story.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Do you know anything about...
No. Well, it doesn't matter. It's okay. Not relevant to anything. But, for instance, Graff's lawyer, Paul Barra, asked... Paris Hilton, were the UK publication, were there UK, John's a genius too, were there UK publications? And Hilton responded, no, there is stuff in London.
All right.
And Larry Stein jumped in. Hilton's lawyer said, London is a UK publication. Her retort, right, UK, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Hilton swore she never saw a republication of the article. I was in Europe the whole summer, and all there is like French. I didn't see anything because I wasn't in America.
Right.
Yeah.
You see, John, you can be filthy rich and a goddamn idiot and
right.
still survive.
Right.
And in some cases, be elected to the highest office in the land behind this U.S. citizen, John. And that would be the United States of America president, John.
Yeah.
All the money in the world, stupid as all get out. And you can still be what some people would classify as successful.
One of the things she said was, they asked her what the last name of somebody was. And she said, it is like a weird Greek name like Douglas.
Wow, she's almost as stupid as Jessica Simpson.
And during the deposition, she blurted out, I'm so hungry. Like, what? What is that?
Well, that's you know, the constantly being pampered part of her life. When she's in court, for more than 20 minutes, she can't deal with it without giving somebody a goddamn order.
So, yeah, that's what I read in People.
Well, that makes me sick, John. And I never really got Paris Hilton. I got to tell you that. She's got that hook nose. She's too goddamn skinny. I just don't get it.
Yeah, me either.
I saw that video where she's, with the green, with the night vision.
Right.
And, she obviously doesn't enjoy sex.
Was it hot?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
You shouldn't have fucked me so hard.
So I just...
Was she doing any hard fucking?
I don't get Paris Hilton. I don't get Ashley Simpson. And I don't get Angelina Jolie, John. I just don't get these women.
Hard fucking? Hard fucking? Hard fucking?
Put two of them up your ass.
I don't know either, man.
Well, John, I got some science news.
Yeah?
Get this, John. Sex lowers your blood pressure response to stress for days, according to a small study.
Wait a minute. Lowers your blood pressure
response to stress. So if you do have stress after you have sex, it's not as a stressful situation as if you had not had sex. You see.
Yeah, so I'll be dying of high blood pressure.
For 2 weeks, 46 volunteers kept diaries of how often they engaged in penile vaginal intercourse. That's PVI to you and me, John. Masturbation or other parented, partnered sexual activity. They were assigned public speaking and measured for stress. Results. Those who had PVI were least stressed, and their blood pressure returned to normal faster than those who only masturbated.
Wow.
Or had non-coital sex.
Do you have a roommate?
Would that be anal? I don't know.
Non-coital.
Those who abstained had the highest blood pressure response. The theory, John, is the duration of the effect and the fact that you get more of it from PVI than from other sex suggests the benefit comes not from the orgasm, John, but from oxytocin.
Do you have a roommate?
A pair bonding hormone. Translation, it's not the sex, it's the love, John.
Oh.
Skeptics, though, have suspicions. People who volunteer to record their report, to record and report their sex acts are not a representative sample. And also, great, this news will really help us control teen pregnancy, whatever that means. And maybe the low stress causes the sex, not the other way around, John. How about that?
Ah, right.
And this isn't a study. It's a pickup line.
We don't take...
So PVI, we can bring that up when we're on Kinky Sex Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm not into the kinky stuff. I have a lot of PVI and masturbation.
I'm not into the CBT.
Right, and when they say PVI, what's that? Well, that's penile vaginal intercourse. Yeah. PSI? Do you have that, John? PSI? That's penile sphincter intercourse.
I was trying to get one for PVI. Penile vernacular intestinal intercourse.
Also in science news, John, the same amount of smoking is more risky for blacks than whites and less risky for Latinos.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
That's out of sight.
Some people are afraid because this will confirm biological differences between the races and help us customize treatments and preventive efforts. It will confirm biological differences and lend credence to racists, John. It will let the medical establishment write off lung cancer as a black disease. And it will let skeptics explain away health problems in blacks that are really caused by racism, John.
Yeah.
Right. Also in science news, this is one of my favorite science stories. Female promiscuity gives male... Let me start over. Female promiscuity gives males big testes and small brains. In a bat species noted for female monogamy, males have small testes and big brains. In a bat species noted for female promiscuity, males have testicles 5 times as big, but smaller brains. Testes in one species are 8.5% of the male's body weight, John. Wow.
Wow. That's...
Let's do some quick math here. What are you, about 300?
Yeah.
And 5% would be 15 pounds.
Yeah.
So 8% would be about 22 pounds. Could you imagine if your nuts were 22 pounds?
They are. They ride shotgun.
Reason for the big testicles.
Elephantitis of the testicles.
Reason for the big testicles. If a female is taking sperm from you and another guy, John, the best way to pass on your genes instead of his is to deliver more spermatozoa. This is why chimps have testicles many times larger than those of gorillas, because chimp females are hooers and they sleep with anybody. Reason for small brains. Male bats that spent their energy making sperm beat out the ones that spent their energy thinking. Researchers' conclusion, size does matter when it comes to testicles, John.
Nice.
The FDA, also in science news.
I figure you would teabag somebody with a pair of 22-pound testicles.
22 pounds?
They'd be like breasts.
It'd be like a medicine ball. It'd be like a workout. Here, throw it here.
Shit.
Talk about athletic support, John.
Yeah, right.
They'd hang down. They'd roll. If you didn't have the support, they'd just roll along the ground with you, I guess.
You'd need a bra for your balls.
Well, what's a bowling ball? A bowling ball is like 16 pounds, yeah. Right? Yeah, so you got two kid-sized bowling balls.
Damn.
His testicles.
Do you slipper the hot beef injection?
Ooh. Damn it, my pen stopped working again. I can't work under these conditions. I need to doodle, John.
Stupid.
Also
worthless.
In science news, the FDA panel voted to allow...
No good goddamn freeloading son of a bitch.
Oh, that was... He's mimicking his father, right?
Right.
An FDA panel voted to allow over-the-counter sales of a fat-blocking pill, John. The good news, the drug, Orlistat, stops your intestines from absorbing one-fourth of the fat that you eat. The bad news, John. To lose weight, you still have to eat less and exercise. If you stop taking the pill, the weight comes back. The pill also blocks absorption of fat-soluble vitamins, and here's the one that really, number four. Can you guess what your intestines do with the fat you're no longer absorbing, John?
Oh, you have some greasy shit, I'm sure.
Fecal incontinence, gas and oily discharge, spotted the undergarments of trial participants. So... You can take this pill, but you walk around with goat's ass for the rest of your life.
Obey really pumps my nads.
Yeah.
The FDA panel has asked, have you considered placing a warning on the box? Don't take this product while wearing your new La Perla underwear. But then the rebuttal is you'll lose even more weight because the prospect of anal leakage will kill your interest in ice cream. That's true. If you got more goat's ass from eating fat, you're just going to get rid of fat out of your diet.
Right.
No doubt. Here's something interesting, John, and this is something that we've asked often on our show. Why don't people see that there's a chimp in charge, John? Why don't they see it? How could they not see it? And you said Ed's coming around, but why is it taking so long for people to come around? And they did some brain scans, John. Brain scans confirm the irrationality of partisan political thinking. MRIs of 30 partisan.
Oh, my God.
MRIs of
those
30
goddamn partisans. Don't they make beer?
MRIs of 30 partisan Democrats and Republicans show each group judging flip-flops by the other's candidate harshly. But when exposed to flip-flops by its own candidate, each group shows activation of brain regions that regulate negative feelings, administer forgiveness, John, and express relief and happiness. The cold reasoning regions of the cortex were relatively quiet. So what this means is they rationalize it.
Yeah, right.
For whatever reason.
They need a little of this.
But we don't do that, John, because we are not partisans.
Right.
One way or the other. We point out stupidity is what we do.
Don't the partisans make like Hans beer?
I don't know. Weren't they between the Mayas and the Aztecs?
Something from the sky blue waters.
I don't know.
Those damn partisans.
Two more science stories, John. Rich people are freezing their bodies and leaving their money to themselves.
Nice.
142 people have had their heads and bodies frozen. And 1,000 have made similar arrangements with Revival Trust. The idea is to acquire wealth and shield it from taxes so you can collect it as scientists figure out how to revive you and keep you alive. More than 20 states permit dynasty trusts that can last centuries. Lawyers are amending these to let the deceased collect it if he returns.
Nice.
I have a couple of questions about this, John. Can your cologne collect the money?
Your what?
Your clone.
I thought you said cologne.
Your cologne?
Like, what?
Like obsession.
Can your cologne?
You mean obsession?
Yeah.
Or do doctors have to bring you back with your memories? Do you have to return your life insurance payout? If they figure out how to revive and cure you, isn't that good fortune enough, John? And wouldn't you be a celebrity? You wouldn't need that cash.
Absolutely.
You'd be on Oprah's show after they revived her.
After, yeah. Did you see all that shit about that guy?
Yeah, that reminds me. So this guy, he's a drug addict, or he was, and it was a mild case.
Supposedly,
so he wrote a book.
He was a pothead.
And he wrote some memoirs.
I know how to make money.
And he fabricated some crap, right? So then
All of it.
Oh, yeah, all of it. Okay. Whatever. So, and he sold it as his story.
Right.
So Oprah picked it up, and she made it her book club book. And so it went right up the charts, because Oprah just has to drop the name of the book.
And it goes...
If we can only get her to say Total Talk Nonsense,
right.
goes right up the charts. And then it turns out that the smoking gun figures out that this guy made up the whole goddamn thing. But who cares? It's literature,
right,
John.
Right.
I don't care.
Nobody cares, but... And it would have went away, but Oprah defended it. And said, basically, I stand by whatever his name is, Fry or David Fry.
Right.
I stand by him. I stand by the book and what I said about it. And then people started harassing her and saying, well, wait a minute. So the truth isn't important then? It's not important to you? So she did a whole show lambasting this guy on the show and making him say... that he fabricated this and that and blah, 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 and how pissed off she was and embarrassed and all this stuff.
That's a bunch of crap. Here's what is embarrassing. Nobody came to her with this truth and fiction and all that bullshit. Her handlers came to her and said, hey, you're a product. You cannot say that it's okay to lie. You need to say that I was wrong and the truth is very important because you are a product. And that's what she did. And to drag this guy back and do that shit to him, what a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
You want to sell your goddamn product? Go ahead.
And put
your fucking ugly face on every goddamn magazine that you have. Oh, for Oprah. But you come correct. You come correct.
Come correct.
She did that. She pulled that shit on those MFers over
right,
in France.
Paris, yeah.
And now she's doing it to this guy. Just get a fucking life, Oprah. You got enough goddamn money.
Not only her, but she did it, or him, she did it to the publisher, too.
Did they come correct, John?
Don't you vet your information?
Did anybody check it out? She vets her information.
And they were like, well, no, we don't check it out. You know, we take the author on their word that this is a biography.
Yeah, like
autobiography.
Book publishers have the money to do that.
Yeah, let's go research it and make sure it's true.
And let's say they researched it.
Yeah, they'd find out all the books by Rush Limbaugh and
they couldn't print them.
Bill O'Reilly are liars.
Well, what they'd have to do is put fiction on it. So what's the big goddamn deal? So it goes in a different aisle.
Right.
It's still a book that inspired people for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So what's the big deal? It's a story. It's a story, John.
Right.
It's not about people in New Orleans that are being lied to by the administration.
Right.
It's not about sending our troops over to Iraq for some fucking oil money. It's not that kind of fucking shit-ass lies. It's a goddamn story that a guy exaggerated. And Oprah's got to get all fucking bent out of shape because her product, because I'm a product.
Our country tis a thee.
As long as you came correct.
Came correct.
Did you come correct?
I'm glad you came correct on that.
Yeah, fuck that.
Speaking
that pisses
of
me
the
off.
War on oil, I went and saw Syriana.
Oh,
on Friday with Joe, one of our previous guests, our first guest,
episode number two, Joe was a guest,
and he slept through. I look over at him, and I'm like, "How could you sleep through this movie? First of all, you got to see it twice because you really have to concentrate. If I was drunk or stoned, the movie would have to leave because I was so." Tense through the whole thing, and I had to really concentrate hard on what the hell was going on. And I think part of it is you're not supposed to feel that comfortable with what's going on. supposed to be a little like, hey, wait a minute.
Well, I think the other thing that they're trying to get across. Now, Siriana is this movie about the oil industry.
Yeah.
And what happens and how deals are cut and how we, the American consumer, get... Consumer? The American consumer get oil from these oil-providing nations and the deals and the backdoors shit, that all the shit that goes on.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is it's so goddamn complex that nobody really knows how it happens.
Right.
So how are we supposed to know how it happens? How's the filmmaker supposed to know how it happens? And I think he purposely shot it that way so that you are confused, but you get an idea of small things that happen to make oil come over here that I can pump in my car. You know what I'm saying, John?
Well, yeah. I guess what I've read is it's loosely adapted from Robert Baer's memoir, See No Evil. He was an ex-CIA case officer. And the character Robert, what was his name? They call him Bob.
Bob. Yeah, he was the stock guy, right?
Bob Barnes, yeah. No, no. Bob Barnes was the CIA guy.
Oh, right. Clooney's character. Yeah. He gained 30 pounds for that role,
yeah.
John. That's dedication.
He was, man, when they started ripping his fingernails off.
Oh,
man, I almost threw up.
Yeah, that was
brutal.
Didn't
you say you almost threw up on that, too?
It was uncomfortable. I don't know if I could
watch somebody being chainsawed in half, but to watch them pull a fingernail off, because, you know, I mean, chainsawing people in half doesn't happen all the time, you know?
Well,
usually they're dead when they do that, but, and your mind can't get around that kind of evil, somebody would do that. But your mind could easily get around to the fact that they duct tape your arms to the arm of a chair, and then a guy walks up to you and wants you to say something, or he's trying to get information, and he hooks a frickin' pair of pliers underneath your fingernail and then just twists it until it pops off, and there's a big chunk of bloody meat on the end of it.
Well, that's the whole thing about torture. If I'm in that situation,
I'll say whatever he wants.
Yeah, what do you want to hear? I'll tell you, just write it down what you want to hear. I'll repeat that. Just don't tear my fingernails off.
You don't even need to show me the pliers. You could just say, I got them right here in my pocket.
And I'm planning on it.
Here you go.
What do you want to know? I'll tell you whatever you want. You want me to say something, I'll say it. Film it if you want to. I don't care.
That's why torture doesn't work. And then you'll have people tell you, no, man, they go through... you know, brutal, extensive training so that they don't, you know, give out that information.
Name, rank, and serial number, John.
Yeah, right.
Not
bullshit.
Me. I'd be like, hey, what do you want to know? I'll make shit up.
Yeah, right.
Hey, President Bush, he's the smartest fucking guy on the planet. He's a role model for me.
Well, you know, that's what's going to happen when they take you to Egypt.
Right. Or just take me 25 miles offshore.
Well, this guy,
I think it was
Robert Baer, said, it happens all the time. We torture people all the time. Not we, but we hire people to do it. So, you know, if you want to torture someone, take them to Syria. If you want them to never come back again, take them to Egypt.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I read some stuff about it. It was pretty cool. And actually, I read some stuff about the movie because the producers were sending guides to all the movie critics to help them with the movie because it is so fast-paced and you kind of lose some of the information flow because they don't come right out and say who's who exactly.
Right.
You got to kind of
figure it out.
And the Brian Woodman character, who is Matt Damon, that was pretty cool. What's cool is like when they cross paths between him and Clooney in the elevator.
Yeah.
And Clooney's just scoping out his next kill. And because he's a CIA operative and he never questions what the government's doing, what his handlers tell him to do. He just does it. And then eventually he starts questioning it because they start targeting him and scapegoating him. And he's like, wait a minute, I'm just doing my fucking job. And now they're fucking me over. And he tries to thwart the assassination of a prince. And you had told some of this story before whatever podcast it was ago when mm-hmm. you saw it.
Right.
And you had said you discussed with your wife that you thought that Matt Damon was in on it.
Right. That was her position, that Matt Damon was in on it. I said he was not.
I say no way. I say what happened was the scene where everybody gets out of their Humvees or whatever they are, those SUVs, he sees the wife and the child of the prince and starts thinking back to his wife and child because they just had an argument before he went over there.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of his kids gets killed, and that's how he actually gets the job in the first place.
Right.
And what's interesting in the movie is there's three situations where there's a father-son relationship. Matt Damon and his two boys, the emir and his two sons, the princes, who one is becoming an Islamist fundamentalist, but he also wants democracy and all this stuff. And then the other one is... puss. He's just he is.
Yeah, he's a cocksucker.
And
materialistic, and, westernized.
And this really powerful attorney, U.S. attorney, not a U.S. government attorney, but a real connected guy. He was in the Gulf War and everything. He comes over and he starts manipulating the one prince who's a real puss, and convinces him, you know, to go to do whatever he can, suck up to whoever he's got to become the next king.
Wasn't that a great scene? That was Christopher Plummer, I think.
Yeah.
When the prince was giving him some back talk.
Yeah, and he's and like,
he
shut up,
totally
pussy.
Fucking dressed him down. That was great.
Yeah, he totally dressed him down. But the whole, what was cool was, you know, Matt Damon's trying to explain to... There was two great speeches. One was... I forget the name of the guy, but his character was like Danny Dalton. And he's the one who gave the speech about corruption is what keeps us safe.
Right, right.
You know, it's just... corruption is nothing more than, you know, the government regulation of companies and blah, blah, blah. And how, you know, they can get around it by influencing politicians to let them squeak by on certain things. And that's what keeps us safe. And then the other great speech was when the prince, the prince that wants democracy, is asking Matt Damon, when he sees his brother, the prince's brother, talking to a bunch of attorneys and U.S. guys, what are they talking about? And and Matt Damon just flips out on him and says, you want to know what they're talking about? They're thinking, you know, oil is drying up. There's going to be nothing left. It's the most valuable resource in history. And what they want is they're going to do anything they got to do, suck off whoever they got to make sure that you knuckleheads are spending $50,000 a night on hotel rooms. Just as long as you keep giving us the oil we want, whenever we want, and you never sell it to the Chinese, that you never invest in your own infrastructure, that the chaos continues as it is.
Right.
It just goes off on this tangent, and it was so typical. It's in this, all these backstories going on too. You said you didn't like the part where you saw the kid who gets sucked in by basically the Taliban.
Right, the fundamental Islamic father and son, and you can tell right away that the son, that's the storyline. And it held no interest for me.
Well, you know, Robert Baer, who also says this whole thing is really muddled, and he has some theories, but he can't nail it down to a single one. But one thing he does say is that, just think, every time you buy a gallon of gas that was purchased from Saudi Arabia, you're funding terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
well, I heard the same thing about knockoff purses, John. Fake purses, purse parties, Tupperware parties. You're funding terrorism. That's what I heard.
Who'd you hear that from?
I don't know, the FBI.
Not from Robert Baer?
No. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Of course you heard it from the FBI, because some schmuck is, you know... One of the purse companies are grease in their hand, grease in the palm. Hey, we'll release this to the news media, would you? So they stop.
Yeah.
This is a CIA caseworker. And he's just basically giving his own spin. He's not saying that this is really what's happening. He thinks that this is what's happening based on his 27 years experience in the Middle East.
Well, and you know, when I talk about my midlife crisis, John, I think it started when I saw Syriana. Because everybody's out to fuck everybody else. What's in it for me? And I can care less about future generations. I want to live fast and hard now. Fast and hard and what else? And tight. She's faster. She's smaller. She's tighter. And so fuck everybody else. And I'll sell off my sons if that needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to understand that that is what corruption is a big part of life. It's a part of life that you have to deal with and you have to protect yourself against because everybody's trying to fuck you over. And that's what kind of depresses me. And that's the gist of my midlife crisis, John.
Yeah.
As I'm just starting to realize that.
Well, here's another quote from the movie by Brian Woodman to Prince Nasir. And this is after his son is killed in a hotel, I believe, that the Nasir's family owns. And Nasir offers him some dough, like $70 million. And then Matt Damon gets pissed off and goes, "How much for my other son? $100 million?"
You know? Right.
So then the prince is like, "Well, what the fuck do you want me to do, man?" And he goes, "You want to know what the business world thinks of you? We think 100 years ago you were living out here in tents in the desert, chopping each other's heads off, and that's exactly where you're going to be in another 100. So yes, on behalf of my firm, I accept your money."
And that's exactly right.
It was awesome.
Without oil, they'd still be running around with these stupid tribal wars, cutting each other's heads off, and they'd be savage. They'd be fucking barbaric. And they still are, in my opinion. This whole fundamental Islam with the virgins, you get 70 virgins and that blah, blah, blah. That's the biggest fucking stupid fairy tale I've ever heard. At least Christianity preaches about moral values that are good and love and not to harm other people. And, you know, most people who spout Christian bullshit are completely opposite.
Yeah.
But this Islam and these guys running around and la, 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 la. Fuck that. If it wasn't for the oil, they'd still be running around the goddamn desert.
Yeah.
And now you got this a-hole in Iran, which is a real threat. Saddam was not a threat. Now we got some fuckhead in Iran that's really going to make nuclear weapons and point them at people. And are we going to be stretched too thin to even take care of that?
Yeah.
Because of the fucking Bush regime? Those cocksuckers?
Yeah. Well, what was really cool about the movie and what was so hard, it's hard for people to get it, is because there's no good guy, bad guy. There's no guy in a white hat and a guy in a black hat. You know, everybody's just trying to do something.
I thought there was a good guy. I thought the prince, the older son, was a good guy. He really wanted to bring...
He was the future Osama bin Laden, Scott.
Are we talking about the same person?
Yes. Nasir, he meets up with the Muslim fundamentalists, and they're sitting in that circle, and he starts bitching about how... You know, what the fuck, what do we do here? We got 10,000 troops in our country. What the fuck are they doing in our country? We can't develop a relationship with the Chinese or anybody else because they're, you know, they got our hands in our pockets at every turn. We got to buy a fucking plane from Boeing or something just to say, you know, because they're always talking about putting money into our...
Understood. Okay. I didn't get that impression, though.
Oh, that's what those guys were.
No.
That's where the money comes from for Al-Qaeda.
Well, he was looking out for the best interests of his country and his people, and he was talking about educating his people.
All right. I don't want to... I'm not on the side of Al-Qaeda, so don't get me all wrong. But in Osama's fatwa, which is his declaration of war, that's exactly what he talks about. Get your fucking soldiers out of my goddamn country. You're desecrating our land. And that's why... they're doing what they're doing. That's what his fatwa says. Even Pat Buchanan, that whatever he is, right-wing, goose-stepping Nazi that he is, he said the same thing.
That's yeah, we just got to get out of there. But if we get out of there, then they can't control the oil interests. They can't muck it up. They can't assassinate people who aren't falling in line and who want to sell to China.
Who? What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking. If you and I can't even figure out what we're talking about, how many listeners do we have left is the question that I have. All right.
All I'm saying is that he has the same patriotism as like we do. Now, we might be sitting in a circle if a bunch of dudes were over here telling us what to do with our money and who we should be selling shit to, and we'd be saying, you know what, I'm going to fucking go do something about this. Now, it starts out as just an innocent political discussion, but the more you get angry about it, you end up taking some of your money, and he's a prince, so he's not going to get dirty, but he's going to throw some of his money over the way to those kids that take the little motorboat and smash it into the side of the LNG Connex Kalin tanker, which, you know, kind of is symbolic for the USS Cole attack.
Well, I'm going to have to see it again after that you enlighten me there, because I didn't even get that when I was watching it the first time. When I was watching it the first time, I just thought about him and his... and it's a lot of what you're saying is what I agree with and what I think. He's just trying to protect his country.
Absolutely.
And educate his people and give them a true democracy.
Right.
But to do that, he needed to sell oil to China.
Right.
And
he needs to invest in the country's infrastructure.
The U.S. wasn't going to allow him to do that. So
He was selling to the highest bidder.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, do I want China to become an economic superpower so they could be a huger threat to us than they already are seeming to be, to the point where they have weapons bigger than ours because they have a lot more money and a lot more pull? You know, that brings back the point to like what Penn and Teller and all those libertarians say, that the free market is what balances all that stuff out. So if we have a free market economy where we're constantly trading with people overseas or here or whatever, there's money moving all the time, then everything's cool. It's when you start trying to monopolize it that you start getting into trouble and you have enemies. And this dependence on oil is like crack.
Crack, man. Like somebody's ass?
Crack cocaine.
The drug, yeah.
But the other thing, like I said, I thought was really interesting was the father-son thing. That one lawyer, the hard-nosed, really quiet, kind of geeky black lawyer, his dad's a drunk, and every night he comes home and his dad's hammered sitting on his front porch. Matt Damon, he has that whole son relationship thing with his two sons. The emir and his two sons, the two princes. Even the character that, what's his name, Clooney plays, has a little dialogue with his son at a little restaurant.
Yeah, they could have cut that fucking shit out, that movie, for me.
Well, they're basically showing that all these guys have regular lives.
Right.
Outside of what the fuck is going crazy here. They have regular families. You know, they want to do good for their kids, whatever it is. Although the emir, I don't understand why he went with the knucklehead son. Maybe he thought it would
because he's retiring and he doesn't want chaos. He wants to get laid by whores. And if he goes with the
the smart one.
Who goes with the U.S., then he's still going to get the hooers.
Well, you know, the scene where his dad tells him, he says, yeah, your brother's going to be the next Amir. And Nasir says, he's barely qualified to run a brothel, much less a country.
Right. You think the same thing happened at the Bush compound? When George Sr. said, Jeb, I got some bad news for you. Your younger brother, George W., is going to be running for president.
So, well, do you think it's ironic or a coincidence that almost everybody that's in the new administration is connected to Texas oil?
I think it's both.
Now, and what's funny is the movie is based on a book written by Robert Baer, which was written a long time ago. See No Evil was the name of the book.
Okay.
And, well, no, I'm not. I'm saying that Syriana is based loosely on that book, but what? Why are you laughing?
No, go ahead. No.
Why are you laughing,
man? What is your thought, man? I want you to get it out this time because
well,
this
I'm clicking around. I'm clicking around.
Okay, so this movie was based on this book by Robert Baer, but you never get to the point. Get to the point this time so we don't have to revisit this.
Click around my notes, man. Asshole. You suck.
Robert Baer, was he Max Baer's dad?
No, what I'm saying, and I'm trying to say, I guess, is that he wrote this memoir called See No Evil.
All right, that's for the fourth time. Okay, then what?
Well, it was written before the Bush administration was in place. So, you know, it was this kind of a mentality and what was going on in the government was already happening.
Right.
He even tried to get the Clinton administration unsuccessfully to overthrow Saddam Hussein in 1995. But that might also be because Saddam was selling oil for euro, so he was exercising his own type of capitalism. He was like, hey, I'm going to do it for the euro instead of the USD because I just hate the United States. And that's what the petrodollar is. It's United States currency.
Well, wasn't he under sanctions at that time? Economic sanctions?
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that shit doesn't work because they get around it. So, like, now we're talking about Iran. Oh, Iran wants to build nukes. Okay, well, we're going to economic sanctions. But some fuckers over in Europe, and maybe even in the States, are going to get around it and still funnel money into Iran.
Yeah.
And we're fucked. Now they're going to develop nuclear weapons. Well, we're not fucked. I mean, are they going to shoot one at us? I doubt it. But Israel, Dave, one of our fans in Israel, he could be fucked, man.
Yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt. But the point I was just making was that this book was before the Bush administration. So there was already this Texas connection. There was already politicians involved in it. There was already this shit going on in the Middle East. So it's been going on for a long time. But what's even crazier is that it would have been really cool if this movie came out in like 1999. And then Bush comes into office, you know, right around whenever the book was written.
Right.
And then you'd see like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Do we really want this connection in the office after I saw a movie like that?
Here's the thing.
Read this book by a caseworker.
Who goes to see Syriana? Smart people go to see Syriana, okay? Because stupid people can't figure it out to begin with. Smart people can barely figure it out. So the audience that you're trying to connect with would never even see the goddamn movie to begin with.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're too fucking stupid. And they can't even afford a movie ticket anyway because they live in a fucking trailer or a park. But they still get the vote, John.
I was trying to find something on the oil for food, but because George Galloway.
I can segue into Egypt really quickly. Yeah.
Well, why don't we take it on to the
part three?
Part three.
The heavy metal episode. Yeah. All right, well, I'll segue into Egypt. I'm going to talk about the curious religious debate that's raging. And the question is, should you keep your clothes on when having sex?
All right.
And their Islamic people are debating this right now.
Well, just hang on, and in part three, we'll bring that all to you.
And we'll get a lot more to W in part three. The W's.
Just hold on for another click.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.